Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and happy Friday. It is July 13th, and welcome to episode number 19 of Bed and Breakfast. It is an honor to have this very special guest on the show today, talking about a variety of topics and giving us his takes on all of them. I get a lot of my mannerisms from this guest as well, so make sure you sit back and wake up to some bed and breakfast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with my dad. Yes, we have another guest on the show, episode 19. It's with my father. And dad, it is great to have you.
Thanks, Jake.
How's it going?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad you wanted to come on the show. Well, actually, it's kind of funny. You didn't know that you were coming on. But we've talked about it before.
We talked about it, but I didn't know I was scheduled in. It was like, yeah, I want you on the show. And it's like, all right. And then no big deal. And then mom said, well, no, on your cast with your, when mom was on with you, you said at the end, yeah, dad's on. And mom says, oh, yeah, does he know? Yeah, he knows. And I told mom, I said, I don't know anything about this. I mean, I know it was going to happen, but I didn't know I'm up next.
I'm sorry. I thought we've established it and talked about it, but I guess not.
I'm prepared.
Yeah, you're ready to go. And yeah, you were very prepared. So I asked you what you wanted to talk about, and you came up with a whole bunch of questions, a bunch of topics that you really want to talk about. So we're just gonna get going, and we're gonna go through every single one. Okay.
Yeah, I thought I'd change it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Change is good. Change is good.
Yeah.
Good. All right. We're first gonna get right into you talking about Major League sports in general, and what we wanted to touch up on was, maybe it was pay, and it had to deal with, you know, a certain amount of hustle that maybe we've seen more in the past, and it has changed nowadays. Veterans versus rookies, and maybe what do coaches see when they start players, when they don't start players. We always talk about, and we're curious on what goes happen behind the scenes, but those are just some ideas. Let's get into it. Some Major League sports topics in general. Go ahead.
Okay, you and I and Matt. Hey, Matt.
Yay. Hey, shout out to Matt.
Ben, shout out to Ben. And yep. Mom, we've been on it too. We talk about sports for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to be dating myself with this, and a lot of the stuff I say, I'm sure people are not going to agree.
That's okay.
I'm not saying I'm right, but these are just my thoughts. Mm-hmm. There have been times, and let's talk baseball.
Okay.
You watch baseball, and people get paid a ton of money, and they don't hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Base hit, how do they know that the guy's going to bobble it or it's going to go in a gap? Maybe they could get a double out of it, but no, they're going to trot because it's like, oh, that's a base hit, I don't have to run.
Right.
Okay, number one. Number two, guys play because of their reputation and their contract. And I'll give you a perfect example. Chicago White Sox had that big guy, Adam Dunn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man, he hits homers. I don't know how many years he played with the White Sox. I'll say three. This guy was crap. You ran him out there every day, and some people and whoever said, oh, man, but he hits homers. Yeah, but he strikes out 250 times a year.
Right.
I know, not that much. He would hit his homer every 2 weeks, but he'd strike out all the time, yet he's in the lineup. So things like that bug me. I mean, there's a lot of other things, but that bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, I think the coaches / general manager / owner, which I'll never know, I'm just speculating, hey, we're paying this guy $11 million a year, we got to play him. I'm the opposite. You're paying him $11 million. If his fat rear end's sitting on the bench and you got a guy that could play and score you some runs, you're still paying him $11 million.
Right,
if
to sit there.
Striking out, you're paying $11 million. Me, I'd say sit down. I'm going to put somebody else in because I have to pay you anyway. I want to win games. No, they run him out there. And it happens with a lot of other teams. It's reputation. Oh, he has playoff experience or World Series experience or in the hockey, you know, NHL or Stanley Cup experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you suck. You're not winning any games in there.
Right.
So there's that whole thing. So I'm paying the guy, I got to play him. No, you're paying him and you made a mistake. You're trying to justify why you paid him.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion with that. I could go on and on.
Oh, for sure. With all these things, we'll talk about, there's a lot that you and I can go on and on about.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how much you want me to babble on, but that's just my thought.
No, that's good.
Money, you don't have to play them.
Right. Do you think veterans versus rookies, do you think that goes into effect as well?
Absolutely. And it's like that in all sports. And it's, you know, it's that fine line where you've done it before, you have I don't want to say seniority. I don't know what word I'm looking for, but you've been there, done that.
Sure.
You should get some respect because you've, you know,
put in the time.
Did all the grunt work to get to that level.
Yep.
But still, at some point, you have to say, look, you're not going to play forever. You used to be good. You're kind of starting to stink a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring this younger guy in who has some potential. And then, of course, you have fans and coaches. He's not ready. Oh, yeah? Well, this Jamoke here who's playing for 20 years, striking out all the time,
yep.
He's done. At some point, you got to say you are done. And, oh, poor me, you're going to hurt someone's feelings? Look, every Major League Baseball player knows there's a certain window of opportunity that they get to play, whatever sport it is.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, your body gives out. You just can't do it anymore. People are running past you, skating past you, throwing it past you. Guess what? You don't have it anymore. So it's time for you to go. You
yeah.
can't play forever. And these guys have egos, and it's like, why shouldn't I play? Because you can't do it anymore. That's me.
Right.
I mean, no disrespect, but at some point, you should sit down at the beginning of the season and say, listen, you don't have what you used to have. I got this other guy sitting on the bench. Even if he performs the same as you, I'm playing the younger guy because he's going up that ladder.
Yep.
You're going down. And we've had this discussion many times. If I was a general manager, I'm trading these guys as soon as they are at their peak. Because you know what's going to happen? They're going down.
Yeah.
Why would I give you a 5-year contract that's worth more than you ever had when your ability is on a downslope?
True.
Just me.
And, well, we'll transition right into that because you love being a general manager in a lot of sports games, and you do love the young guys. And you made a great point, though, is all the rookies, all of those recruits, again, let's just use baseball, the guys that were in AAA or in the minors, I mean, they were workhorses to get to the major league. And, yeah, they're not expensive, and they hustle and they work hard. Same with the recruits in the NHL. I mean, you have those teenagers now who – they just want to play on the ice regardless of what line they're on. And they work hard and they hustle. And sometimes there are some teams that don't see that as much as maybe us fans or you and I might see it. But what other things would you do if you were a general manager besides recruiting and bringing up those young workhorses?
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked a lot about this in Goofy. If I was a general manager, my way of doing things, the owner would fire me the next day. So first of all, go along with it. Number two, I'll get criticized for all the next callers that come in, but I don't care. It's just my opinion because nobody wants to think outside the box. It's so like this is how we've always done it, and it's successful and it works. But at some point, you got to say this doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes there has to be a change. And me as a general manager, I would pay players a base salary. Every single guy on that roster gets paid a base salary.
Okay.
Everything after that is incentives. If you do this, you do this, you do this. And I know there's criticisms, and I'll get to that. But every player will have incentives. If you I don't even know. I'm just going to, like, make up stuff. If you have X amount of hits, if you RBI, if
right,
you
by the end, in, by the end of the month, you meet this quota, honestly, huh? Right.
Yeah, which kind of sounds like fantasy league crap.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's what I would do. But there's a big but to this. If you don't hustle, you lose as much as you earn on the good plays.
Oh.
If you don't run out on the ball, guess what? You lose as much because you made a good play. So every play that you make well, if you don't hustle, you don't run out of ground ball, it's even. I don't owe you any extra money because you didn't hustle. Now, granted, no one's perfect. They're going to make outs. They're not going to hit home runs. You're not going to throw a no-hitter. But if you're putting in the effort, how many times have you seen Frank Thomas?
He's the big herd.
He would hit the ball. He'd hit a rocket off the center field wall. Guess what he gets? A base hit. Because he trots the first. Big deal. You could have had a double if you ran, and then you wouldn't have to slide into second. You have a double. But that's how players are. They don't hustle. So a play like that, if I was the general manager and they say, oh, I got the hit. Yeah, but you could have got a double because you trotted the first. That doesn't mean anything. You don't lose your how. I don't have it all down to a science. That's my feeling. If you make an error, you make an error. But if you make an error because you were looking at a plane flying by, I'm docking you the pay. Mm-hmm. So all that being said, no one would ever want to come and play with me because these guys all have egos. But you know what? I have a good team. I might not finish last, but I might not win the World Series because there's a ton of AAA players who are good, who can play. You know as well as I do, they can't get into the lineup, not because of their ability, but the cagey vets have to retire for them to move up. Or somebody has to get hurt for them to move up.
Exactly.
There's guys in AAA that are better than guys in the major leagues. I have three catchers on the team. I have a great catcher here. You got to wait till this guy gets hurt, or this guy gets traded, or this guy retires. In the meantime, he's just clunking along in the minors in AAA. That's
right.
Would I win the World Series? No. Would I win many fans? Yeah. You know why? Because they're going to come out and they're going to see players hustle their ass off, and they're going to play. Instead of clunk, hit a fly ball, I'm getting an automatic base hit. I might as well go get a soda because you didn't do anything. This is boring to me.
No, that's a good point.
Comes down to that, well, it's fantasy league. What if you are out of the pennant race? These guys will just be playing for their statistics. Yeah, how do you win games? The more hits this guy gets, maybe you're going to get more runs. What's wrong with that?
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That just... I could go on and on and on with that, but that's how I feel.
No.
So there's a whole stigma. This is how we've done it for 90, 100 years. Yeah, but you're not doing anything. And I'm not saying the young players are better, you know.
No.
But how are they going to get better if you keep like having them like clunk down in the minor leagues because the guy hasn't been around for 20 years. He has commercials or what happened. He's got a big contract, so we have to play him. Mm-hmm. You know what? That's the GM's fault. How come you don't have anybody in the stands? Because you got a bunch of guys that don't care.
Yeah.
They're just clunking along making their money. So which comes back, my point comes back then to, well, if you're not in the playoffs, these guys will just be hitting for statistics, playing for statistics. Okay, what are the vets doing when they're out of the playoff? They're sitting in the clubhouse having a sandwich, drinking a beer. Oh, it's my turn to bat. Okay, I'll go bat. Doesn't matter if he gets the hit or not, right?
Right.
Care because they know they're on the team next year.
Those incentives that would make it. You're right. That's a good idea.
Camp at every level. You got the rookies busting their chop, or I want to swear. You know, I like to swear. I would have said something.
Yeah,
else.
No, it's okay.
To try to make the team, you got these cagey vets who have a contract. They've been doing it for years. They don't care. They're gonna make the team.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So that's the mentality. That's what I feel. So I would pay everybody a base salary. Everything's based on incentives. Home runs, strikeouts, this or that, and negatives. You don't hustle, tough crap. You didn't get a good bunt down to sacrifice, tough crap. And people are going to say, oh, you think it's easy to have a bunt? I'm paying you $11 million in a major league. You better know how to bunt. Well, what's the big deal? Why do people say that? It's so hard. Yeah, it's very hard. I can't do it. I'm not a major
right.
league player. However, you as a major league player, you know how to do it. You're a major league player. You better do it. You're not perfect. You're not going to do it every time. Some guys don't know how to bunt. What the hell are you talking about? You don't know how to bunt. What is that?
Right, right.
Split up. Forget. You know, I talk about this a lot.
No, that's okay. That's good.
I went to a White Sox game with my friend and his dad. We were sitting in outfield in an old White Sox park. And a baseball player named Rocky Colavito, outfielder, right? This guy catches a fly ball at the warning track, sets his feet, throws a laser beam to home plate, boom, gets the guy out, tagged end the inning. Now, You got guys in the outfield. They can't make it to the infield. They can't hit the cutoff guy. I have a better arm than them, and I can't throw worth the crap. It's unbelievable. They're making all this money at a major league level, and they can't throw a guy out at – some guys can't. That one guy with the Dodgers. What was his name? Guerrero? I think he retired a couple years
ago. Vladimir Guerrero?
And then the guy from the Yankees.
Yeah, Vlad was in the right, but yeah, Vladimir Guerrero was one. Yeah, whatever.
But now they get the ball. I watch, I swear to God, the other day I'm watching this center fielder. Oh, he goes back. He wasn't against the wall. He was in mid-center field. The guy from third tags up. This guy bounces it in on three hops to the cutoff man. What the hell is high school kids do that? So that's my point. A lot of guys do this, and they're, I don't know.
No.
So go ahead. I've been babbling on.
No, that's great. There's all good points. General Manager Bob,
No one would ever hire me to do that, though.
You never know. If you put butts in the seats, that's what matters.
Right. First year, I'll get criticized, writers and everybody else. Second year, same thing. Third year, people are going to say, this is interesting. I'm coming to watch everybody hustle. Because I have all these guys in my fantasy league, so all these jamokes will be drinking beer, cheering. I need a hit.
Right.
And hit my drive in a run. Whereas you have this big palooka that swings strikeout. Okay.
Yeah.
$11 million. He does commercials. He strikes out all the time.
Yeah, all those expensive players. Right. That's all good. Right. There are so many of those really expensive players that they will just lightly jog at a first base, you know, on a ground ball. It could, in their mind, it's a routine, but you could beat it out. Like, if you hustle, there are some guys that do end up beating out those throws.
You see it all the time.
Yep, you do. So that's great. Yes, General Manager Bob, hopefully you can step in and fix the Blackhawks potentially. Another thing that we love to talk about, and you're a huge Blackhawks fan. We love talking about the Blackhawks. We love the Blackhawks, but Dad, they were terrible this last year. What is going on with the Chicago Blackhawks?
Well, I don't know. I have different thoughts on it. I love the Blackhawks, but boy, do they suck.
Yeah.
And you saw it coming. They started sucking a lot, and they made a lot of excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you point fingers at? I'm going to say Bowman, and I'll tell you why.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He did very well early on when they won all the championships, but you got to have the right mix. You got to have the right players. You have to have coaches. You have to have everything. The Blackhawks don't have the players that they used to have, and I feel, and you know I say this a million times, and I'm going to say it again, but let me qualify it, you know, tell you what I think.
Yeah.
The Hawks are small. They're all my size, you know?
Yes.
And I know the game is speed and getting faster, blah, 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 blah. I get that. But look who won the championship this year. They were fast. They controlled the puck. But they were a little bigger. I'm not talking where you need to be 6'5", 290 pounds and blowing somebody up. You watch the Hawks. They get the puck. They get knocked off the puck. Not by a hard check. They just have a bigger body on them that pushes him off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, yeah, you're faster, but you're not always going to get past every single player on that ice. The way they have it set up, you might get past the first guy, but the second guy has you.
Right.
Number one. Number two, they preach and preach and preach and preach. We're a puck control team. They never have the puck. They have the puck and they lose it. One and done on a shot. Number two, you hear on the TV, the announcers, coach, we need guys in front of the net to get the greasy goals. No one's in front of the net.
No.
Why? Because of the first thing I said. They got all these little guys like me. You can't go and plop yourself in front of the net.
Like Andrew Shaw, he was always there.
But you need a gritty guy, and you need a couple of them. You don't need one. You just need a guy to be a pain in the ass in front of the net. Just you score a lot of goals bouncing off of somebody's leg or a rebound or something.
Yep,
you
or get a redirect, exactly.
Hawks don't have that. They get one shot done. So I'm babbling on about it. I don't think they have the right players anymore. Even this past year, watching every game, you know who's in front of the net? Jonathan Toews.
Yep, well, still.
What the heck? Okay, granted, he's going in front of there because nobody else is. That shouldn't be your guy to go in front of the net to get the greasy goals.
Not anymore, right.
Number one. Number two, they're slow as molasses.
Yes.
They're slow as molasses. Brett Seabrook got a 7-year contract at 32 years old. I could go faster than him with my eyes closed. Here's another idea. See, here's another thing. They keep running him out there. Dude, Bowman, you're nuts. You should have never given him the contract. You have it. You're stuck with it. This guy slows molasses. Everybody's going around it. But they keep putting him out there. Why don't you just pay him, sit in the press box, and start getting other guys in there, because he's crap. But the Hawks don't have the players anymore. They did and they don't. Mm-hmm. All you hear about is Taves. He doesn't have the right wing. He doesn't have this guy. He doesn't have – you know what? Taves isn't the same player he used to be anymore, which I like him a lot. I like everything he's done, his hustle, his pride, how he plays. But he's – I hate to say it. He's like a second or third line center. Like
he definitely hit his peak
before
last year.
He needs other players. I get that, mm-hmm. but – I don't know. And then this last move that Bowman made, he went and he got this free agent, Kunitz.
Yep.
Oh, okay, Kunitz. Let me read up about him. He was with Pittsburgh, blah, 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 blah. Okay, he's 39 years old. He's won 3 Stanley Cups, so he has all this experience in Stanley Cup hockey. He's 39 years old, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, he's a free agent because no one wants him anymore. Why? Because he's probably lost it. Mm-hmm. Number three, you know, we needed to get rid of Patrick Sharp because he was too old. Patrick Sharp was a year older and had 2 Stanley Cup champions. So I don't see that. I don't see that. And lastly, Bowman loves to pick up old, washed-up players, and they're no good anymore. Mm-hmm. If you pick up a free agent, get something that's going to make an impact. Not, I didn't think they improved. And their draft?
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
This guy's 5'10", 160 pounds. Okay. This guy's 5'11", 170 pounds. Okay. We got all these little guys. They'd be good, but you can't have all little guys. You need a couple of other gritty guys, you know? Mm-hmm. Just my thoughts.
No, those are all great thoughts. I know it's been frustrating.
I don't know when you want me to stop. I go on and on a lot about this.
No, I don't. It's okay. You're doing great. Yeah. It's unfortunate because they were such a powerhouse. I mean, in the last 7 years, and now it's like, oh sheesh. I mean, they're at the bottom of the barrel.
Oh yeah.
With some of the core players that they're still throwing in there every now and then.
Well, Taves, Kane, Crawford, Duncan, Seabrook, Crawford. Those guys are washed up except for Kane and Taves. Duncan Keith had a terrible year. Again, I never knew he was as small as he is. He's like 5'11", 190 pounds. Mm-hmm. That's Bob Benarczyk. I'm 5'11", 190 pounds.
Yeah.
He's a tough guy. Don't get me wrong. But I think he was trying to do too much. He was trying to play his game and his other defenseman's game, who mm-hmm. sucked. So I think that really hurt him because he was trying to cover for his teammates a lot, and he really had a bad year.
Yeah.
Seabrook, you know what I think about that? Those younger guys were okay. People criticize them. They're young. Well, so was everybody else. They were young. They made mistakes too. You know, run them out there. And the Blackhawks just didn't slowly get bad. They stunk. Like,
yeah, they did.
2 years, like, man, you guys stink. And why can't they get free agents? Because they know that they don't have a good core anymore. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they do well, but very disappointed.
Yeah, I think everyone was. Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah.
Hopefully for some more improvements this upcoming season. Yeah. How about the Vegas Golden Knights, though?
Yeah, that was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Bunch of guys that no one wanted. If I was on that team, I would have the same thing they all said. No one wanted us. They thought I sucked. Let's show them. And right. They did.
And they did.
And out of gas. But they did show people, you know. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I think that goes back to what I was talking about earlier. These guys had pride and hustle. That trumps a paycheck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay, you got this guy that makes a lot of money. He's okay if he wants to play. If he not, he takes a night off. These other guys, hey, I have an attitude. I have a chip on my shoulder because everyone thought I stunk. No one wanted me. And there's how many of us in this room? 21? Let's show them. You know, there's a lot to be said about chemistry in sports. I really believe in that.
Oh, yeah.
I really believe in that. If you have a bunch of guys that are good, but they all have egos, you're not winning anything, I don't think. They'll win, but you have a better chance of knocking them off because they can't handle controversy. Mm-hmm. They can't, when things don't go their way, they start snipping and yelling and crying and moaning and groaning. Give me somebody that's on the fence that could play really well, and I'll take my chances with that.
Hustles and works hard. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah. The next thing we're going to talk about is, see, we're going right through the list right here, Dad. This is great.
You're running out of time?
No, you're doing great. Don't worry about time. It's all good.
Do I get an hour and a half?
You get as long as you want. It's okay. You're good. Don't worry. Coaching. So, you know, I'm a coach right now, and I have been for a bit. You were a coach for some time as well.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
Well, it kind of does. I like it. You were a great little league baseball coach. You were a great coach.
Nah, I don't think I was a great coach. Mm. I tried to do it the way I thought it should be, but it's fighting a losing battle with some of these people, you know. Like,
sure. And that's another topic that we'll get into right now is when it comes to coaching in high school sports or youth sports. That's fine, too. It's the actual coaches themselves. Nowadays, you've been noticing a bunch, you know, society is noticing that it is just getting out of hand with some of the controversies you have in youth sports, or more so high school sports. One of them being the coaches themselves. A lot of people have really good coaches and a great coaching experience. Some have a really bad coaching experience, again, regardless of what youth level it's at. But one thing that we could talk about with that is, why are there so many coaches that make their players, regardless of their age, run so much?
I know. Okay. In football, basketball, you're constantly running. It's constant, mm-hmm. other than whistles and stoppages. But you got to hustle. Baseball, you're kind of standing around 90% of the time. Hopefully right. the ball doesn't get hit to you, because I feel like standing near the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
In volleyball, I never played volleyball. I watched you play volleyball. I don't think running's that important. You know, it's like, okay. Because if you're some sort of an athlete or a young kid that runs around and plays, you don't have to be taught or told to run. You run every single day of your life because you're playing. Now you're on a team. I've been running my whole life. I know what to do. That's not right. I shouldn't say I know what to do. I can run.
Right.
I'm not lazy. You know, I know that this is part of the game. I like throwing. I want you to be on my team. Okay, go out for a pass and you run.
Mm-hmm.
No, pull the whistle. We're all going to run. Why? Well, you got a lot. You look. Got to tell you, man, not you. I see some of these coaches, football, baseball. How can you stand there and yell at these 10, 12-year-old kids blowing the whistle, come on, run, get up. The guy's 300 pounds with a jelly donut dripping down his chin, and he's telling the kids how to run. I remember when I used to play sports, and I played different ones, not so much organized as you guys.
But you played like the 16 in softball, just bare hands.
16 inch
sports
softball.
Like that.
Nobody knows about
football
it.
On the street.
Actually, that's another topic. 16 inch. I'd like to talk about, even though I see a lot of people playing. But anyway, we'll get to that later.
Yeah,
but
we'll do that later.
I played tackle football for a while at one of the other parks. You know, mm-hmm. when I was in seventh, eighth grade, whatever it was. And the coach I had was really good, but he had an assistant coach. And again, this guy was like 300 pounds, and he's yelling at us. And a couple of us guys looked at each other, said, this guy can't even bend down to tie his shoes. Why is he yelling us to run? Yeah, telling us to run. It's things like that. And these dads / coaches, you know, maybe when they were younger, they did it. But you got to step back and think that, you think these kids don't notice that? That they're going to say, oh, look at this guy over here telling me to run. He wouldn't be able to catch me if I ran. You mm-hmm. know, I have a problem with that, because there's that whole authority issue and do as I say.
Yeah.
Look at you, man. Like, you may coach, you may have played it when you were young, but don't tell me I got to hustle, because you're a lazy ass. Just look in the mirror. What are you talking about? There's a lot of guys like that. You
right.
know?
There like are.
That. I don't know. I see it at all levels. You know, these big, mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just what I think. They have a good heart. They're going out there to coach. Don't get me wrong, but A lot of them have it like, kill him. You need to hit him. Take his head off. Oh, yeah? Let me take your head off. See how it feels. It's like in baseball, I remember there would be like kids pitching. Not everybody was a good pitcher. And, you know, the kid would throw a fastball and the kid, he gets bonked, you know, gets hit in the shoulder or back, mm-hmm. you know. Next time he's up, he's backing out. And you hear the dad say, stay in there. And I'll never forget. I forgot who it was. He got hit in the back so hard, it was like, man, I was afraid, you know. Next time up, he has this look in his eyes like, Mr. B, like, I'm scared to death. And I told him, I said, look, I know you're scared. Here's what you do. When the ball comes and you think it's closer, you're afraid, back away. You don't want to get hit. And the kid's doing it. And here's some dad in the stands. Stay in there. What are you backing out for? And I so bad wanted to turn to him. You know what? You bat. I'm going to pitch. I want to see what you have to say. Right?
Right. Yep.
They'd have a little pee come out, and they'd have to run to the washroom because I would be throwing at him every single time, shrugging my shoulders, going, I don't know. I can't control it. Mm-hmm. He would back out every time. That kind of crap bugs me.
Yeah.
You know? Stay in
there. I agree.
No. It hurts. I don't want to stay in there. Mm-hmm. So like that. So what is my point, I guess? What does that teach a kid? It teaches him absolutely nothing. Did he learn how to hit? No. You want to make him stand there scared to death, hoping he doesn't get hit with the ball so he could strike out or get a ball so he could get the hell out of there.
Right.
It's teaching him how to hit. You know?
No.
So, and, you know, I mean, not everybody could hit, but there's some kids that are really, you know, they pitched fast or tackled hard or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're little kids. You're not grown men. And yeah. I hate it when these dads and stuff, oh, stay in there, and they're yelling. You know what? You get in there and let me do it to you. I guarantee that you'll go sit down.
Right.
And car and have a cigarette and a jelly donut.
A jelly donut. Yeah, and it's about the kids having fun, too. I mean,
teach them. Like, you know, I don't know. How do you learn how to hit? How do you learn how to throw a ball? How do you learn how to catch a pass? By doing it and doing it successfully. If you can't do it and you don't do it, you're not going to learn. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I don't know how you draw the line, because I'm not a big fan of the leagues where it's like, oh, everybody gets a trophy and, you know, you keep doing it till you get it. Like, so there's that line I don't want to cross either, where it's like, all right, well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the answer, but I don't like what people say, like, you know.
It's a very interesting topic, and right, you made great points, and I totally agree. I don't think that it's fair for those younger boys and girls that are playing the sport for fun, and it's not fun when mom and dad are yelling at you for everything you do in the stands. It's not fun for anybody, and that takes away the pleasure and the enjoyment for the game of the kid, and like that's a shame.
Yeah, and again, I'm dating myself, but, you know, when I played sports, we didn't have league. No, I shouldn't say that. We had leagues, but they weren't like organized as they are now, where everybody gets uniformed, the parents come, and there's a treat. There's all these commercials in there.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have a league, and the guy would go, okay, you 10 guys are on that team, you 10 guys are on that team, and you'd play.
Right.
Okay. Halfway through the season, he'd always make it. I remember him when we played 16 in softball or whatever sport we did at the park. Halfway through the season, he'd stop and he would change players because this team had like 5 good players. The other team had 4 crummy players. Let's even it out.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only guy there. And you know what it is? I'll just use 16 in softball. You know, it was hard to swing the bat when you were a little kid. You couldn't hit the ball out of the infield.
Yeah.
But you learned how to hit. No one was saying, oh, you can't hit it there. You say, I know you can't hit it there, but here's what I want you to do. Marty Frame is the guy's name, by the way, at the park. Here's what I want you to do. This is how you hit the ball. I'm going to make it out. So what? Just hit the ball that way. So it taught you how to hit the ball. I was never able to throw the ball. So, I was in the outfield for a while. I catch it. They needed somebody because I was fast. So I couldn't throw it. So what he told me is when you catch it, throw it to the center fielder. He'll throw it in for you. You know, stupid things like that. But you know what I did learn? I learned how to catch the ball. And as I grew older, I was able to throw it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being is that this guy never put you in a situation where you would fail. He put you somewhere, like, if you couldn't catch or you were afraid to catch a line drive, you weren't going to play the infield or put you in the outfield. Because he knew you were afraid. He knew you would quit. He knew you wouldn't have fun.
Yeah.
put him in a position to have fun. And what did he learn? He learned how to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you get everybody squawking. Why isn't my kid in this position? Well, and here's an example. I remember when I was coaching, there were some kids, you never had them catch, and you never had them play first base because they could get hurt. Somebody gets the ball, and they throw to first, and this kid can't catch. Bonk, he gets hit in the head. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I got to put you somewhere else to learn how to catch the ball safely, I guess. But you don't have that now, because the only time kids get to learn that is through this whole organized crap. They don't go out there and just, let's do this.
Yep.
All right. You play for a couple hours. Hey, you suck today. Yeah, I know, but I learned how to catch or something. No one up your friend, you know.
Right.
So, but that's in all sports. How do you correct that? I don't think you correct it. It's just the way things are.
Sure. Know? Just the way things are.
Things the way things are. You talked about 16-inch softball. I walked right my bike past the rec center path, and it was like 16-inch softball. So I stopped and watched, you know. It's like, oh, is it back? And I'm watching, and I'm like rolling my eyes. Some guys were good. I don't want to be critical. I played a lot, and I enjoyed it, but I watched some of these guys batting, and it's like, what the hell's the matter with you? They're batting like they're on television watching Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You batting softball? They're like, oh, with the bat up, digging in. Dude, you don't even have what they probably don't even know this rule. You don't even have to be in a batter's box.
Right.
You have contact with the ball. You could be standing there leaning on the bat, talking to your friends, and the ball comes out, go up there and hit it. These guys are all in there, batting gloves. You got freaking batting gloves on the place. What the hell's the matter with you? I don't know. Some guys were still really good, but other people, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, a little too much, huh?
You got it wrong, man.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
That's good. 16-inch softball is a lot of fun. Right, you always talked about how, well, at least when we played, we had the mitts. None of the guys wore batting gloves or anything, but right, you didn't have no mitts. And the ball was much softer.
No, it was the same regular clincher.
Oh, okay.
Comes out of the box hard, and after a while it gets softer. But when it's brand new and you hit it, people don't get it. It does go farther.
Yeah, it goes. And then you always could take your approach in the box, right? You could start wherever you want.
I was lefty. I stood way back in the box, and I always had a long – I used to have a fungal bat. You know what a fungal bat is? It's long and thin, and then they put stuff in the top to make it heavier. I was never actually in the box. My foot was kind of outside the box, but I even have to clarify that. When you're in good leagues with good players, nobody drew a box. Like, so you didn't even have a box. You know what I mean?
Because it was just home plate.
Everybody got it. You don't need to make it official box. You know, he's out of the box. And you guys are like, no, you know, you already knew that. It was understood. But I stood pretty far back, and I did that step and hit it, you know.
Nice, yeah.
When you played against good teams, there was none of that piddly-ass crap like, oh, there's a box. What?
Yeah, funny. No, but it's all good.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, stuff like that. Good. Well, let's keep moving on. Instead of doing our top five, we're doing a new segment just for you, Dad. It's called, as if this whole episode isn't that already, but it's called What's the Deal?
Yeah.
So I'll give you a little topic that you might have sent to me, and you're just going to go on your thoughts about that topic. Perhaps it's something that has bothered you. All right? You ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay, the very first one, and what's the deal, is what's the deal with online shopping? You have a predicament with online shopping, don't you?
No, I don't have a predicament with it. I remember when online shopping's been around a while. Mom was getting into it, and I'm going like, wow, what the heck's going on here? I love it.
Okay. Oh, so this is something, this isn't problematic. This is something you enjoy.
Yeah, it's fine. At first I was like skeptical, but now it's like, great. I don't have to run to the store and look, they don't have what I need. Run to the other store, look, they don't have what I need. Now I'm aggravated and I'm hot, I'm sweaty. This way you just buy it, they send it here. If you don't like it, you send it back. Perfect. You know, some things you still have to go look and touch, you know what I mean?
Right, yes.
But I don't want to say people don't have time anymore, but boy, what a convenient way of doing things.
Sure, like
I still like to go to stores, and not all stores, but some stores, to look around and touch and look and feel. But to get gifts or to say, oh, I have to shop, you know, like if you don't know what you want, it's a big waste of time, especially when you come home empty-handed, you know, like, hey, you're out all day, you didn't buy anything? Yeah. Right. I look online, buy it. Hey, I like this. Order it. Ding dong. It's there the next day. Oh, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but stores are closing because of that, I think, which that's the way things are.
Right. Because, all right. Yeah, that's what it was. So stores, physical stores are closing and not a lot of customers are going there because it's so convenient to order what they want at their office or at their home. That's happening. I think you're right. Yeah, definitely right.
Yeah, that's a good what's the deal. I mean, that's not a bad what's the deal.
That's good.
Good.
Okay, what's online shopping? Check. The next one, what's the deal with concession stands having all of their products cost so much?
Oh, yeah.
Well, like a bottle of water.
I want a bottle of water. It's $8. It's
$8.
Water. I want a hot dog with some grilled onions. That'll be $8. A hot dog, a pack of 16 hot dogs cost $2 or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right, yes.
Yeah, and this goes back to what I rambled on about. You know why? They have to pay this Jamoke $11 million or 21 people.
Yep.
That's how they pay their salary. Parking, concessions, you name it. It's astronomical.
Yes.
I don't like to go there and buy a hot dog and a Coke, and it's $16. It's like, I don't get it. How are people okay with that? I don't understand. Like, am I the oddball?
No.
I don't know.
No, you're not.
Say, oh, man, want to get a couple beers? Sure. How much is the beer? It's $9.50. $9.50 for a cup of beer. And you're okay with that? Like, I don't get that part. People seem to be because they're selling them like crazy.
Right.
I don't get it. I really don't, you know.
Yeah. And maybe not with sports, but with just events in general, it could be a concert, could be, I don't know, a show, maybe even the movie theater. Well, actually not the movie theater doesn't apply to this, but the cost for parking too.
Sure. Remember we went to Soldier Field for the, what concert?
Bon Jovi?
It was $50 to park. $50 to park. Why else am I here? I'm not parking my car here and walking home and say this is my new parking garage. Mm-hmm. I'm here to see the thing and go home. $50 to put my car. And it wasn't even indoor. Oh, yeah, it was. But still, $50 to park.
Yeah.
I didn't even buy the $10 beer yet.
Oh, you mean – no. You mean Bruno at the United Center.
No, we went to see that other guy at Soldier Field.
Yeah,
$50.
It's not indoors.
Oh no, the parking. It's was in a washing and stuff. And
gotcha.
Tail it while I'm watching this guy sing a song. You
yeah,
know?
Right. Car wash.
All I did was park the car, went to see show, come back out, got in your car, and drove home. $50. Again, they can do it, and people are okay with. Yeah. I don't know, how do you change that?
You know? You can't.
It's a lot. Come on, it's a lot of money.
That is $20. A lot of money.
All yes. Right, I guess, but. $50 to park your car?
I know. It's
because you're stuck.
Right. The next one has to do with cars and drivers. What's the deal with drivers not using their turn signals?
Well, that amazes me because there's many, many, many times people don't use their signals, and I'm sure you're behind them as well. But you know what I think? When they bought the car, there was an option to say, do you want turn signals? And they say, no, I don't want to pay for them because they have them and they don't use them, so it must be an option that they didn't buy.
It must be an option.
What's so hard about going like this? Click, I'm going to turn, or click, I'm going to turn left.
Yeah.
Well, that's too much trouble. I don't want to. All you do is flick your hand, like click. It's not like you have to stop and change a tire. I'm going to
switch gears.
Right. I'm going to turn right. You click it up. I'm going to turn left. You click it down. Oh, that's too much trouble. But you could sit there on your freaking phone and text the whole time, right? But
yeah.
You can't turn the signal on. Then when you beep at them, they flip you off. Wait, you could flip me off, but you can't flick the signal on.
That's true. Good point.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then the last what's the deal with college athletes? College athletes, do you think they should be paid, or do you think it should be how it is?
We talked about this a little bit at Matt's party. Hey, Matt, shout out to
Matt. Yep.
Talk a little bit about that. It's a hard one, man. It's a hard one. I have my pros and cons about it.
Mm-hmm.
But before I get into that, what young kids and parents don't realize when they go from high school to college, it's a huge step up. And sometimes these college teams have 125 kids on a team. They don't all dress for the games, but when you go to practice, there's 125, 130 kids.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Why? Because you have 20 guys that are really good. Well, they need practice. They need guys to practice against.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of you guys, you're never going to get on the field, but you're going to come out here and we're going to kick your ass and you're going to go in with aches and pains. We have to learn how to do things and we're going to tackle you, beat you up. But I'm not giving you a scholarship. I'll give you half a scholarship. I'll give you meals. So parents don't realize once you get on there, even if they give you a partial scholarship, you may or may not see the field. You're just going to get knocked around. Okay. That being said, you have 100 players on the team. Should you pay them or not? Okay, let's talk about, you should pay them. Okay, how do you pay them? Do you pay everybody across the board? Let's just make it easy, $100. Like you're going to make $100 a month. No, because you want to, the way things are, you pay your quarterback more and your receiver. But I'm old school. The quarterback can't play worth a lick, and the guy catching the ball can't catch unless you have blockers.
Mm-hmm.
You put me behind – you put Brady behind the Chicago Bears lines the last 10 years, and he'd be Swiss cheese, man. They'd kill the guy.
Sure.
So who do you pay? How do you pay? So let's say you pay everybody the same, $100. Okay, great. Well, what about these other 50 or 60 guys who are substitutes, are just out there to be the third line player who is – he's a practice guy. You pay him $50 or do you pay him $100?
Yeah.
Who's going to decide that, number one? Number two, you get that whole college education for free, right? You go into school because you don't.
Right.
Scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those kids don't take advantage of it?
No way.
So you know what? That one's kind of off the table because some kids do take advantage of it. They realize, like, boy, if anything, I'll get a college degree. Some don't. They don't give a crap. But those guys, doesn't matter where you put them because they're idiots, so they'll be an idiot no matter where they go.
Mm-hmm.
Three, all the little schools or mid-America schools are going to fall away because they don't have the money to throw at players to say, hey, come to my school. I'm going to pay you this, but you know what? I'm going to pay you a little more because I have these boosters. And what your parents or other people don't know, do you think the AD actually picks the coach? It's the boosters, the million-dollar guys that contribute all this money to keep that crap going. And they say, listen here, my man, Mr. AD, I've been throwing in millions of dollars for this program. This is my guy.
Yeah, that happens. You're right.
So you're going to have a lot of that. So I think the small schools will be left behind. They may have to start their own league because they don't have the finances to stay with it. And lastly, you're going to get some big stud player who always wanted to go to this school. It's a little bit smaller school, not on TV as much. He's not going to go there. He's going to go to the other school where they pay big bucks,
Because right.
Even if you say we're going to do this across the board, NCAA says this is how much you make, that's never going to work because it doesn't work now.
True.
A kid is taken out to dinner by a booster and all, you got sanctions against them,
Yeah.
That's not going away. If anything, it'll be tenfold now. Remember that $100 you're supposed to make? I'm going to give you $1,000. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
It'll just get worse,
Right.
I don't have an answer for that one. That's a hard one.
Yeah.
That's a hard one.
Good. Yeah, that's okay. Good. Well, that was it. That was our first time with a segment of What's the Deal. Nice job, Dad.
Yep.
Yeah, you did great. We're gonna move on to our last couple of segments. What's that?
I said I thought you're kicking me off.
No, we're not done yet.
All right.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So we're finishing off with the last couple of segments. You do this with all the guests, Dad, as you know, because you're a pretty active listener now, aren't you?
Yeah. When I first heard you did this, I said, "WTF, you doing? What are you doing, But yeah, it's really good. I jumped the gun. I didn't know what
respectfully
you were doing.
So, that's okay. Yep. That's all right.
But here, good. I enjoyed it. I listened to it. There were a couple I missed there, but I went up to mom, so that was the last one, I may have missed one or two in between, but
okay. Well, good. So we do these last segments with every guest. So we're going to get into the first one. We have our Pablo Sanchez All-Star of the Week. So when you when you've done your research for all these, whom was your All-Star of the Week?
Well, does it have to be this week, or could it have been a couple weeks ago?
Anyone in general,
okay.
Sure.
Okay, you know what I thought was pretty cool?
What's that?
Did you see what happened? There was this man on the plane. He was blind and he was a mute, and he was having trouble. He wanted to do something, get up, he couldn't talk or couldn't do anything. And this young 16-year-old girl noticed it and came over, held his hand, and she had done sign language or worked with handicapped people before. She calmed them down and worked them through this whole process. It was a little blurb on the news, but not much.
Nice.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Cool. That's a good story.
You know, for people there probably going, boy, this guy better hurry up and get out of his seat because I got to go get my luggage. I got to be the first one out here to get my, you know, catch my limo, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And just stopped and took the time and calmed them down. I don't know how he even got to that point or who helped him get on, but no one helped him.
Wow.
And yeah. So it was on the news. Don't know the girl's name, but yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's good. Great All-Star. That's a good story. I like that. Mine is you.
What?
Yeah, it's you. So you're the All-Star because once this episode airs, which is going to on Friday, your birthday is coming up on that Saturday. So happy early birthday.
Yeah, thanks. We don't want to go into the whole technical details. My whole life I celebrated my birthday on the 13th. My mother told me I was born on the 13th. We always like kind of said, oh, you're 13th. Looked at my birth. One day, Mom looked at my birth certificate. It was, I think, before we were married. You were born on the 14th. I was born on the 13th. Officially, it says the 14th. My mother said it was the 13th. It was near midnight. It was prior to midnight, so maybe they did the paperwork at 12:02.
Maybe. Who knows?
So anyway, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. Yeah.
The next one we have is our Dubaiash, and I have to give credit where credit is due. I named this segment that after you. Not you're a Dubaiash, but you've used it for years, and it's just too funny.
Yep. Anybody that knows what that word is, they'll know that all that to be said. It means many things.
Right.
Many things like, you know, you're an idiot / swear word. In
right,
there,
exactly.
You know?
Yep. For those that know, they just know. But who did you find out to be a Dubaiash?
Oh, that's simple. That's easy as cake. Trump.
Yep. I figured you were going to have the same answer with Mom. That's a good one.
Nothing else needs to be said.
Good. Yep, that's okay. I respect it. Mine happened the other day last night, the Oakland A's versus the Houston Astros. So it was the bottom of the 11th inning. They were tied. There was a drop third strike, and the batter did not run at first.
There you go.
He hesitated. So he started like kind of just trotting back to the dugout. The catcher obviously dropped third strike. It was in the dirt, so he bobbled it. He picked it up. The catcher didn't even go for the tag right away.
Didn't have to. Once the batter makes an attempt to go to the dugout, the play's over. He's out.
So he was about to, but he was still in the baseline. And so the catcher's like, okay, well, I'll just tag him just because he's here. I don't know if he's going to run or not. So the catcher went to go tag him, the Oakland A's catcher. He missed him. The batter dodged back towards home plate, backwards, missed him again, started running towards first, and the catcher's like, all right, whatever, like, stop messing around, let's just throw him out. Throws the ball out of reach of the first baseman, air, baseball goes along the first baseline, third base, the runner on second or third, they come in and score, game over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay, that's great.
Yeah, isn't it? It's a bad moment, but that, just like you were talking about earlier, all that hustle and all that matters.
Okay.
It truly matters.
Let's go back 45 minutes ago. So how much was this catcher getting paid?
Probably.
How long has he been in there? Mm-hmm. He can't tag the guy out. He can't throw to first, and he lost the game.
Right.
He'll be in the game tomorrow or the next day.
Mm-hmm.
No
he's
punishment.
Making, and he's making he's millions.
Not, he's making millions. He can't tag the guy. Okay, if it was me and I missed him, okay, you're old, you can't catch him. If this was Little League, I had a kid got mixed up, you are a major league professional baseball player, the best in the world, supposedly. You got kids at a high school level, Little League level that can make that play, and you can't. But here's
right.
a boatload of money. Get in there, you Dubaiash. See?
There you go.
And they cut it out. I'm sure their sports writers were like, oh, well, he – yeah, I don't know, I had a brain cramp or something. No, you suck. Right.
Who knows? But yeah, I had to pick that one. It only fit for this conversation. Yeah. Good. The last one is our Mitch Trubisky Hidden Hero Award. So who'd you find out for that one?
Yeah, that was hard. There's a lot of people that do good things and you don't hear about them. Like, you have to go look for them or search for them, which is unfortunate because all you hear is like all the bad BS and who's the dupayash or jamoke.
Sure.
It sucks. Stupid or crooked or lied or whatever. Yeah. But I don't know, but I'm just going to say, so I didn't do any research. I just listened and I didn't hear anything, but I think the Special Olympics, you know,
nice.
It's been going on for 50 years. I think they said it was, I read in the paper. Is it 50 years? Or 25 years. Either way, that's you got to give. That's a lot of credit that goes to the kids and people that they do it and recognizes it, and they do it for their self fulfillment or whatever. And yeah, it's been going on a long time. And the people that run it and keep it going, who are those people? I don't know, but Mitch Trubisky to them, right?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great one. Big shout out to the Special Olympics. Mine is about the Thailand Navy SEALs.
Oh, that was my second one, but
oh, good. Yeah, that was just it. Yeah, so I'm sure everyone knows about them. So, and again, not just the Navy SEALs. I know there was a whole team, a whole operation for this, and it was great that everyone was safe, and it was great that, you know, everyone was there to help. You know, thoughts for the one that unfortunately did not make it. But as a whole effort, I mean, for that situation being what it was really awesome to see that everything worked out in everyone's favor, honestly. Yeah. And so shout out to the team, the Navy SEALs, the whole team, the whole, you know, everyone that was honestly just involved. That was a really big deal, honestly, as it should be.
Yeah, that was my second thought, you know.
Yeah,
but
that's
I
a good one.
I mean, that was big high news stuff, so I didn't know if that qualified or not.
No, yeah, that would have been great. Good. Yeah. Good. That was a good list. Nice job.
Yeah, cool.
The last one, Dad, I know you know this because it has to do with your other son. We ask every guest this last question, and it's about Ben going to school, which you are happy about. It's finally happening. Your last son, your last child, is going off to school, leaving the house. What advice do you have for Ben going off to school?
Well, there's many, but I mean, those are just, you know, you can't say them all. They come out as you're talking, but you need to enjoy it, you know? I mean, you still have to study and do your stuff, but you need to enjoy it. I don't want to sound like all cliche, like once in a lifetime thing, but it is. I mean, you're not 40 years old and you're living in a dorm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Go there, enjoy it. Don't go in with any preconceived notions. Leave your door open. I know everybody says it. When I went to college, I say it too. Leave your door open. If everybody leaves their door open, everybody talks, everybody mingles, everybody does stuff. Are you going to be friends with everybody or best friends? No. But as long as your doors are open, everybody knows you. You know everybody else. You talk. You may talk to this one this day, this day, this day. Next thing you have 10 people talking. You may be best friends for life. You may be best friends through college, but you have to do that. And not all kids do that. And again, I don't get that. Why are you sitting in a room with your door closed? You might as well have stayed home and gone to your local college if you don't want to talk. What are you there for?
Sure.
For crying out loud. You know, keep an open mind. Don't put too much pressure on trying to figure out. He doesn't know what he wants to do, which is fine. I don't know what I want to do, and I'm ready to hang it up, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to find what you want to do, and it'll just come to you, you know, and they're going to help them in that curriculum. But keep an open mind, and don't go in there with preconceived notions of saying, oh, this is going to be great, this is not going to be great, or this part I will like and this part I shouldn't like. Yeah, you can't do that, because then when it doesn't work, you get disappointed, and then you say, hey, this kind of sucks.
Setting those expectations right.
Yeah, don't do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've told him many times, you know, and we listen to all these people speak at all these colleges. Every single university has tutors, a tutor department, and it's so valuable. It's not a bad thing to go in there and say, listen, man, this class is just way over my head. I don't get it. It's not clicking. They don't want you to fail because it gives the school a bad reputation if you have a large failure rate. And like the one woman said when we were at Purdue not too long ago, you know, she said, we have the counselors. And a lot of kids don't use the counselors because when they were in high school, they were smart. They never had to do it. And they feel like this is beneath them. No, go there. Mm-hmm. We'll help you. But we can't help you if you don't come to us and say, hey, I need help in this.
True. And
if you come too late until after midterms, it's kind of late then to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work to catch up on.
No, you're right. That's a good piece of advice.
Lastly, I told them, go in there, talk to your counselors at least once a week to stop in to say hello. And it's like, well, how do you do that? What do you mean to say, hey, I've been here? No, you go in there, you make an appointment, you go in there and I say, Ben, how can I help you? Well, I just wanted to touch base with you, just talk about what's going on in school, just to touch base, say hello so you know who I am. It may take 5 minutes, next time it might take a half hour, because when you really do have a problem or you need to talk to someone and you go there, they already know you. So it'll be that much easier to help you through a tutoring session or a class or to direct you somewhere else. They know you versus the random kid that comes in and he's like, he's grasping for straws. I don't know this kid, or he has a problem. Is he lying? I don't know him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in, just like anything else, you go meet people, say hello, get to know him a little bit. And then when you need their help, which they're there to help you, they'll say, yeah, I know who he is. He's a good kid. Let me help him.
Yeah.
Kids don't do that. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah.
It's what it's there for.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So good. Go have fun, do your work, you know.
Yeah.
Play it by ear.
Good. Yeah, those are great piece of advice. Honestly, those are the same things or similar that you've told me when I left as well. Yeah, keep the door open, check in with a counselor every once in a while, and then have an open mind, right? Don't set expectations, because if you get disappointed, right, like that's just obviously a huge bummer. So just don't even bother setting expectations, because good things will come, and, you know, maybe not as fun things will come too. But keep an open mind.
Yeah. Good. Tyler was saying, yeah, make sure you have a good decoration in your room, some good music playing, keep the door open, man. You know, it's like, Tyler, you're right, man.
Yeah, shout out to Tyler, yep.
You don't want to come into a room that's kind of dull. You know, if there's little stuff going on in there, it's like, yeah, it's a cool place to hang, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It's true, you know.
It is true. Yep. Good. A lot of great advice. And, Dad, it was a great episode. Thank you so much for coming on.
We went over a little bit, I think.
No, this was great. No, not at all. This is perfect. This is great.
Good. I'm glad to be on. It was fun.
You did great.
We should have a 5Bs one.
We should have a 5Bs, the whole squad there arguing.
No, we'd be laughing. We're a laugher.
We would just maybe each family member could tell a story.
You know what? It would never get to the end of the story. We'd all interrupt each other and talk and laugh.
Yeah,
and
yeah, we would. The 5Bs would be fun. We should definitely do that.
Yeah, what do I call that basketball tournament? Big Bad Bernardzik Basketball. Well, I'm missing one B. Big Bad
Bernardzik Basketball. Bracket.
Bracket.
Yeah, the NCAA bracket. So in March Madness, you make the tournament for our family, the Big Bad Bernardzik Basketball Bracket.
Five Bs.
The 5Bs. That's awesome. All right, Dad. Well, thank you. And for everyone, please subscribe to the podcast on Podomatic, Spotify, or iTunes, and tune into the very last episode of this era, this season, and it's going to be with the man himself, the college boy, Ben.
When is that?
It's going to be next week.
Oh, wow. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be great. All right, Dad. Well, thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks. Good job. Thank you.
Thanks, Dad. See ya.
Bye-bye.